From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 29th day of April, 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In just a bit, we'll take up the weather forecast too. That with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago. It's going to be an ugly one for the next 2 weeks, he says. And it's pretty unlikely farmers will move very much. And he's not quite certain that even the third week of May will get a whole lot better. We'll discuss that with him. And along the way today, we'll check in on the cash grain situation to see if basis and or futures has begun to move very much. We'll do that with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now trying to take a look at what happened in Chicago at the CME Group by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us for the day.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, so let's start off with what happened in the soybeans. I don't think when I looked earlier in the day, they were as far down as they finished, down 6.5 cents. What happened?
Well, they held in there fairly well in the overnight trade, and once we got into the day session, we had a little bit of a sell-off, but we recovered. But as we went through the day, more comments, and I think the trade's getting kind of wore out on this U.S.-Chinese talk, especially when they keep saying they're close and nothing's quite been accomplished just yet. When they start talking about the language of the contract, it just seems like it's a stall tactic. They pretty well know what the language is in these contracts. They've been at this for some time, not just this go-around, but previous times. So I think trade's a little wore out. Then also, not a whole lot of new news on the export side of the equation. The shipments are a little bit slow and not up to expectations. So therefore, if we don't see some new sales and see these shipments pick up in through here, maybe the old crop inventory can grow somewhat. Then lastly, maybe a little concern if we do see some moisture continue to be in the forecast here, that maybe bean acreage could climb slightly. But I think for the most part, producers are just wanting to try to take prevent plant, let alone switch to beans. So beans came down, made new lows, and kind of fueled on itself, buying corn. Selling beans seemed to be the feature as we went into the close.
We have good guesses for this afternoon's crop progress report, which will show how far along we are planting.
The trade range is on corn anywhere from 10 to 19% complete as a nation. 14% is the average. I think we're probably a little higher than the average. Last week was 6%. There's quite a bit of activity that took place in western Illinois, northern Illinois, portions of Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, and even the Dakotas, and even portions of Ohio, and so forth. So I think that corn number might just be a slightly higher. But typically this time of the year, we're about 20-25% complete, and those numbers will probably start to show some fairly good lag going into next week. Because the way the forecast looks, there's not going to be a whole lot materialized as we go through this week, of course. Beans, 3 to 5% complete, 4% as a nation. I think that number is going to be higher. There's a lot of beans going to the ground. I wouldn't be surprised to see bean plantings, 6 to 7% complete as a nation in through here. Then lastly, the crop conditions report for winter wheat conditions. Last week, we were 62% good to excellent, and they're expected to be 62% good to excellent again, versus about 31% last year. Wheat looks fairly good in a lot of the growing regions here in the east and also in the west there, Todd.
Have you been running scenarios out in your mind with delayed planting continuing and a trade deal being done, delayed planting continuing and a trade deal not being done, weather clearing up, and one or the other two scenarios, and what does it look like for you?
Boy, I need a pretty big spread chart for that. There's a lot of moving parts. gosh. Yeah, and that's keeping everybody kind of on edge, maybe not wanting to take a position, or maybe try to be patient and try to hang on to a little bit of inventory to see what happens. As far as the trade deal goes from day one, I think the trade's still looking at if we would have some type of number given on bushels or metric tons, that we would be limited up in corn on that announcement. And that would probably last one day. So corn could probably rally 20, 30 cents real quick, beans 50 cents, maybe wheat 20, 30 cents. But the trade believes that would be the funds trying to cover shorts on the black box reading that news, and they got to run for cover that way. As far as too wet, it's awful hard to get real bullish on too wet conditions. Now, if it was hot and dry and your yard was brown, we'd be like a bottle rocket taking off here. But if you even go back to the great flood in 93, the trade did not get too excited about too wet conditions until in August, when the levees started breaking along the Mississippi, that it was evidence that nitrogen was lost and the yield was not there. So it might be a little longer term process, but if we would stay too wet, corn could probably, July corn could probably run back up to this 375 area. July beans maybe could, if you're not planting corn, you're not planting beans, maybe see some recovery back up to 880. So yeah, there's a lot of scenarios you can put together. Probably as a producer, I really wouldn't have spent racking your brain trying to figure out which way and what depend on the news to bail out a bad position for, say, maybe hanging on to grain too long. Basis is really firmed up in through here, and I would take advantage of that on corn particularly and move a little corn and replace it with a covered position. So if we go higher down the road, you're on board. If this whole thing fizzes out, the weather breaks, no trade deal, and we just continue to drift lower, at least you've got some money to pay down some debt and keep going in through here. When we start wishing and hoping for disaster somewhere, that's usually hard to come by.
Anything on the livestock side? We've had a pretty good run with the hogs.
Yeah, just we saw some packing plants come online or start to beef up for this demand to China particularly. That's kind of labeled for them. So it's going to be important to see these weekly pork export sales stay above this 23,000 tons. We need to get those up to 50, 60,000 tons a week to get excited about it. But yet, too, we just not too long ago ran in a situation where they're concerned about our feed additives in this pork. And that's why they bought Smithfield, because a lot of pork run through Smithfield didn't have these feed additives in there. So there's a little question on what pork they will take and what pork they will not take. But we got to remember, it is positive long term, but there's Canada, Europe, and South America as competitors to compete for this business.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, Secretary of Treasury Steven Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer are headed to China this week again to try to hammer out details on a negotiation that would end the trade dispute between the two nations. Larry Kudlow, economic advisor to President Donald J. Trump, was on Fox Business News earlier today, and he says they're getting closer but still looking for clarity on the final deal.
On China, so Ambassador Lighthizer, Secretary Mnuchin going over. I think they're leaving today. They'll be there this week. China's top man, Liu He, will be here the following week. So in the next 2 weeks, hopefully we'll get a lot of clarity. We've come a long way on these talks. As you know, it's covered all the ground and then some, including enforcement, structural issues, and commodity issues. Let's see what happens. I think we're going to get a much clearer picture at the end of this two-week period.
Kudlow says he remains optimistic that the trade negotiations with China will be successful. He then turned to the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, which still needs to be approved by Congress.
USMCA is essentially a nonpartisan, bipartisan bill, And we're hoping that Speaker Pelosi, who's been very cooperative so far, will give us a vote in the near future, and we can get that through.
The Trump administration believes it has the votes necessary to pass the USMCA on trade through Congress, and it says it's just waiting on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to schedule the vote. Pelosi has thus far declined to set up a vote, arguing that the deal's enforcement provisions need to be toughened up first. And finally today, this note on the passing of former Indiana Senator Richard Lugar. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson of Minnesota issued the following statement. Senator Lugar, he says, was not only a foreign policy expert, but as the chair and ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, he was a tireless fighter for America's farmers. He was a strong proponent of the Farm Bill's locally led and voluntary conservation title programs and part of the bipartisan support for biofuels that led to the RFS. Dick Lugar was first elected to the Senate in 1976, where he launched a 35-year Capitol Hill career that made him Indiana's longest-serving senator. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by agricultural economist and market specialist Todd Hubbs. He's penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website. It's posted there now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. He does that most every Monday here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. This week, he's looked at ethanol and its production in the United States. You're a little concerned, I take it, that the ethanol production in the United States, or at least demand, won't meet the USDA's set goal for the marketing year.
Yeah, Todd, right now the forecast is 5.5 billion bushels of corn used for ethanol. And, we're about to enter the summer driving season. You should see ethanol production pick up as people drive more. But by my calculations through March, we're just slightly over 3.1 billion bushels of corn use, which puts us needing from April to August more than we did last year in ethanol production from corn. And unless we see a really strong increase in either exports or gas consumption, it might be tough to hit that number this year. We particularly saw ethanol production from corn fall off in the second quarter of this marketing year. And everybody knows the story, tight margins, negative margins for ethanol plants. We've seen some places close up shop out in the Western Corn Belt. And, it's just been really tight, and production has reflected that. And I think as we move into the summer, yes, you're going to see ethanol production pick up, but we've already lost so many bushels, from December through March. It may be tough to make up without some fundamental change in the market demand we see right now. And I think the most likely place that could be is maybe exports, and particularly exports to China, if we can get this trade deal done.
So we need the trade deal done with China at this point, but I want to explore two different things. Are we driving fewer miles?
Gas demand's been relatively stable over the last 5 years. I mean, we've grown just a little bit, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the relative slow growth in gas demand year over year. I've heard of many, many, many different scenarios. I think some of the truer ones are just fuel efficiency has gotten a little bit better, ride sharing. I know there's a lot of talk of electric vehicles, and they're definitely on their way, it looks like. How fast that technological change occurs could have huge implications in the long run for ethanol and corn use. But in the short run, we're just seeing it driving be relatively stable.
That leaves the export market, and you mentioned China. That hinges on a trade deal, but what about Brazil and other places that were big users?
Well, through February, we're actually up over last year's export pace, just slightly. But what you've seen is Brazil, while still being the largest importer of ethanol, they're down from last year. Now, some of that is sugar prices are bad, and they're using a lot more of their sugar cane to make ethanol. And Brazil's gotten in the corn ethanol game in a big way. So when you look at the numbers I'm looking at Conab, ethanol production. Brazil's up over 20% this year. Well, that's going to hurt our import levels. We're still exporting to Brazil, and they're still our biggest market for exports, but it isn't what it was last year. Now, we have seen uptick in places like India. They're growing year over year. And some other places, South Korea, the Philippines. We're seeing ethanol get sent a lot more places than it was even 3 or 4 years ago. But Brazil has been the biggest importer of ethanol for us. And with what's going on domestically with them, it may have taken some of the bloom off of what we're going to see for exports the rest of the marketing year. So where I'm sitting right now, we need to see a real surge in gas consumption this summer, a big one, more than expected by the EIA, or some kind of trade deal where China immediately takes some ethanol, which I think is feasible. They have an E10 policy in place. They have the capabilities of importing it relatively quickly. So I think if a trade deal went in early June, you know, that last quarter of the marketing year, we could see some jump in ethanol exports if they reduce that tariff from 45%.
Notably, and I don't think you mentioned this in your article, E15's been missing from this discussion.
Yeah, I mentioned it in my video that I'm highly skeptical of that right now being something that's solved in the near term, but hopefully it could be. But even if it is, I don't think it's going to be a salvation for demand this summer.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, market specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. You can watch what he has to say and read it as well at the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is here from the Andersons. Hey, good afternoon to you, Amy. I bet it's been quiet there in the office. Is that right?
Since last week, wondering what's going on and with funds being short, but it's been pretty quiet, not a lot of selling activity. Obviously, not much progress done in the field either, so it's just been really kind of dull here for the past couple weeks now.
Well, dull's not so bad as long as there are opportunities, but it doesn't look like farmers are really thinking that there's going to be a lot to do except to wait uncomfortably to get into the field and not to sell any grain at this point.
Right. It's kind of a bad combination here with the forecast that we've gotten and the prices that we've got. At least we had a positive close in corn on Friday, followed by a positive close today. Of course, not nearly enough. Beans haven't been so fortunate, but at least we've seen possibly maybe the signs of a bottom being put in on corn with the impending forecast here. Not looking like we're going to get much done in the next couple weeks.
You rolled forward. Anything happen with that as you moved basis from 1 month to the next?
Yeah, so slight improvement on beans as we rolled from the May to the July. Corn stayed relatively even, although we did see an improvement of a few cents at the end of last week before we did roll to the July. So still a gradual improvement in nearby basis, both corn and beans. And with the lack of selling that's going on, I would anticipate that that should remain the case here until we see farmer selling, which at this point with the current situation, I would say, is probably on hold till at least we get in the field and get something done.
Domestic demand stays good at this time?
Yes. Yep.
Anything on the ethanol front?
Nothing new to report at this time.
All right. And your bids for the day?
You bet. Cash corn is at 338. Fall bid is at 351 across the scale. Soybeans today nearby at 817. Fall, 821. And cash wheat today is at 424.
Hey, thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Mark, it's been a rainy morning and day here in our part of the world. I think that's the case for you in Chicago as well. Can you tell me about this rainfall so far and what we can expect the rest of the week?
Yeah, this rain system now beginning to clear Illinois still will impact Michigan, Indiana, Ohio here through the rest of the day today. But these rains that we're seeing, this is the start of a pretty active pattern. In fact, that started once again this past weekend with the rain and snow here in the Midwest. But we have one event here today that's going to be followed up by a series of events, not only through the rest of this week, but even on into next week as well. It's a very active pattern, and that is actually being produced by actually some cooler air that settled into the north central U.S. We have cooler air to the north, cooler than normal temperatures to the north, and actually warmer than normal temperatures to the south. So this boundary between those two air masses, if you would, is setting the stage here for this active pattern. And as a result of that, again, not only are we going to see high precipitation amounts here coming up over the next couple of weeks with, you know, many areas seeing 2, 3, even 4 or 5 inches of rainfall coming up, but also limited number of dry days in between these systems due to the active nature of the pattern.
Will it sweep back and forth across the whole of the Midwest?
When looking across the entire Corn Belt, the area least favored for at least the higher totals actually would be the northwestern Corn Belt. So the Dakotas, Minnesota, they still look to get rain, and in fact, totals over the next couple of weeks look to register near normal. But once you start to get into Iowa and southern Wisconsin, Michigan, and then southward through all of Illinois, even extending down to the Delta and even in the Plains, these next 2 weeks is a distinct wetter than normal pattern or above normal totals expected.
After that 2 weeks, and I know it gets tougher 14 days out and further, do we dry out?
Right now, Todd, there's no indication of things totally shutting off and getting into extended dry stretch. There'll likely be some easing of things a bit, but very debatable, you know, what that specifically means. Does that mean just you get into like 3 or 4 days of dry weather? Or does that begin to extend a little bit further out? But ideally, like to see a week stretch of totally dry conditions. And even like looking back last week, we had about actually 4 or 5 days of dry conditions here in the Corn Belt before the rain and snow started over the weekend. And so likely into that third week of May, maybe you start to approach that 5 days, but ideally you'd like to see over 7 days now, given what the pattern that lies ahead here the next couple of weeks. And there's simply no sign of that right now, Todd.
And I take it the two-week period, the near-term two-week period, there'll be enough rainfall, as you said, that farmers just won't be able to get into the field.
Yeah, that's our expectation here, given the pattern. And again, it's a matter now of how much was accomplished through this past Friday and Saturday before the precip commenced again.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.